Welcome to Betrayal Trauma Recovery. I'm Anon. Last week I talked about Matthew 9:18 and how I prayed that Jesus would come and resurrect my spiritually dead husband. Another woman doing 12-step scripture posted Matt 8:22 on social media in response to this. And in Matthew 18:19, a scribe approaches Jesus and says, "Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." And in verse 21, "And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." To me, this sounds like a reasonable request. Like, I want to follow you, Jesus, but hold on a sec while I do this super important thing. But Jesus says to him in verse 22, "Follow me and let the dead bury their dead." And that verse was what that woman posted in response. So I've been pondering this verse ever since. What does this mean? Let the dead bury their dead. So if I see this as a metaphor and that death is spiritual death, then is Christ telling me, follow me and let the spiritually dead people focus on other spiritually dead people? Or in other words, follow me and let the spiritually dead worry about the spiritually dead. I wonder, am I so focused on this spiritually dead person that I myself am spiritually dead? If I focus on myself and life, that I can just let that go? I don't know exactly what this means, but I intend to ponder on it more. And if anyone has any insights, please comment on this post on our site, btr.org/stories. You can comment anonymously, and I'd really love to hear your thoughts about this. Last week, I talked a little bit about unmanageability and the analogy of the drowning swimmer. The Essanon Blue Book gives us some incredible insights into the unmanageability of our lives. It reads, "We are concerned with two principles in step one, that we cannot control the sexaholic or his or her sexual behavior, and that because of our attempts to do so, our lives have become unmanageable." I'm convinced that pornography addicts exhibit similar behaviors to those with narcissistic personality disorder, and the more we attempt to uncover the truth, the more our own reality unravels. Even those of us who are not naturally codependent find ourselves in a confusing world of drama, attempting to sort out what is really happening. And more importantly, we're trying to figure out why? Why is this person doing these things? What is happening? Accepting our powerlessness is the first admission that we give up. This may feel defeating and very frightening at first. In the past, we depended upon ourselves to get through every crisis or difficulty. We relied on our intellects, our theologies, our past experiences, and on new schemes and strategies we developed. We felt sure that each new strategy would work, and even when it didn't, we just bounced back with even more self-sufficiency and determination to succeed, right? I'm going to succeed now. Oh, this will work. I mean, I think about this. I tried essential oils, hypnotherapy for my husband, exercising. I could just go on and on about, it's embarrassing, actually. Anyway, from the Blue Book, our natural impulses were to take over, force the issue, to make changes. We perceived ourselves to be more competent than the sexaholic and felt sure that being strong was the answer. I'm reading from the Blue Book with permission from Essanon, and you can find more information about this on our site, btr.org. We slowly started to come out of our denial and isolation. We were able to admit that there was something wrong in our homes and in our relationships. We could no longer try to right those wrongs ourselves, so we came for help. Only through this utter surrender do we find strength. Our human willpower cannot break the bonds of compulsive behavior, but our admission of powerlessness lays a firm foundation upon which to build our lives. When I first observed my husband's abusive behaviors before our marriage, I responded by trying to figure out what was happening. I could describe my entire life philosophy as, let's get to the root of this. Together we can solve anything. And I don't think that's a bad philosophy per se, the together we can solve anything philosophy. But when you put together in quotes, but really mean I'm trying to solve this for you, that's where the problem is. As we try to solve the problem and it's continually eluding us, the Blue Book states, When sexaholism persisted, we began to feel that we were chasing a snowball downhill. We suffered from heartbreaks, crisis, and emotional and physical ailments. Either we blamed the sexaholic for these things or we blamed ourselves. We believed if we were only stronger or smarter or sexier, we could somehow control the sexaholic and solve our problems. On page 11 of the Blue Book, it says, we experienced anger, disbelief, humiliation, betrayal, fear, anxiety, depression, hopelessness, guilt, and numbness, to name just a few. In step one, we saw that our attempts to control or deny, so often driven by these powerful emotions, resulted in unmanageability in virtually every aspect of our lives. At first, when I started this, I wanted labels for everything. I thought that labels would help me figure it out. Whether you're codependent or whether your behavior stemmed from trauma isn't really the issue, and I don't know if it even matters. That's the cool thing about working the steps, is that you don't have to label things or you don't have to define them in order to finally get solutions. And also, APSAT's trauma coach can help you work through these things and make progress. On page 11, it continues, it was difficult for most of us to make the transition from focusing on the behavior of the sexaholic to focusing on the ways in which our reactions to the sexaholism contributed to the unmanageability of our lives. I finally got to that point where I realized that it was my reaction to the sexaholism that was contributing to the unmanageability of my life. Many of us had to ask our higher power to help us cultivate attitudes of honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness to admit that our efforts to cope with sexaholism had failed. My efforts to cope with my husband's behaviors failed. I completely failed. I did. I take full responsibility for that. I tried for years to come up with a name for it. Is it borderline personality disorder? Gaslighting? Narcissism? You know, thinking that defining it would help me resolve it. But all of my efforts failed. And then I was left with the wreckage of my desperate attempts, catastrophic financial loss, anxiety, fear for my children's safety and emotional health. The wreckage itself is unmanageable. And that's the beauty of step one. In step one, all I have to do is admit that. I have to just finally come to grips with the reality that my situation is really bad and tell the truth. It's completely unmanageable. I return to this place of honesty frequently, especially when I kind of get lost or are upset. Just coming back to the center of the truth. It's completely unmanageable. I post about my 12-step scriptures aha moments on social media, so follow me on Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, Twitter, YouTube. If you'd like to be added to the secret Facebook group where women are discussing their 12-step scriptures insights, please friend me, Anne Blythe, parentheses Anon, that's A-N-N-E, B-L-Y-T-H-E, parentheses Anon on Facebook, and private message me and I can add you to our group. If this podcast and other resources available on betrayal trauma recovery are useful to you, please rate us on iTunes. Each rating helps more women find us. If you liked what you heard today from the SNN Blue Book or you're interested in our 12-step scriptures challenge, please go to btr.org/supplies to find the Blue Book to purchase or to find supplies for 12-step scriptures. We also have several other books on our supply page that are helpful as you are navigating what to do and how to do it. If you want one-on-one help, please schedule an appointment with one of our coaches. Our coaches are specifically trained to help you see the signs of cheating and help you navigate your husband's gaslighting so that you can really understand what's happening. Sometimes it's very helpful to have someone there holding your hand, so please schedule an appointment today. Keep coming back. It works when I work it, and I am worth it.